Good morning. Welcome to From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and this week we'll spend some time talking with a variety of guests, from authors to high-flying SR-71 pilots, so I hope you join us throughout the week between 10 and 11 here on the PA system and also on EIA Radio. Just want to let you know that From the Stand is supported by the Commemorative Air Force, honoring America's military aviation heritage through flight remembrance and education, with more than 11,000 members. Operating 164 vintage aircraft, the CAF is the world's largest private air force, and you can get more information at commemorativeairforce.org. And as we start out this morning, today is a day when we remember EIA's founder, Paul Poberesny, and we thought it would be a good way to start the show this year with some memories of Paul and joining us here on the stand. Two longtime EIA members, Bob Lumley with the Vintage Aircraft Association, and the one and only Ron Scott, who's run the Communication Center for a number of years. Good morning, gentlemen.
Try 52.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. So the both of you, I'll start with you, Bob. When did you meet Paul?
Met Paul first time was in the mid-80s, and it was just a brief meeting. We were doing the porch. I was working with Al Kelch. We were putting a porch on the Red Barn, and then we went on. We were doing another piece, and Paul showed up one hot afternoon, was visiting, and I was introduced, and he said we were a little bit hot and looking. He, a little while later, he came back with a six-pack, and sort of went from there. Got acquainted with him about 1990, a pioneer, and I honestly could say I've never had a better friend.
There you go. And Ron, you said you met Paul back in 1959, right?
Oh, do I have to talk?
You have to talk now.
Oh, okay.
This is radio, not TV. So
all right, Mr. Busser, a.k.a. Jack P. Diddley. Yes, it was 1959, and I had a little old 41 Taylor craft at Capitol Drive Airport, north side of Milwaukee. And he landed his Pober Sport.
Okay.
Their low wing. I think he had a Luscombe wing on it. And we had a cup of coffee. We were talking there, and he says, "Yeah, you know, you can. EIA, we've got this organization going. You can build your own airplane, design your own airplane." I said, "Oh man, that's kind of neat. You know, I did as a kid design a lot of models and stuff like that. You know, you control in those days."
Yeah.
And at any rate, he had a nice talk, and so he said, "Yeah, you join the chapter," which at that time was headquarters chapter. That was Ray Stetson. I always had a go around on this thing, you know, because he's chapter one, and headquarters. The organization started to grow, of course, and said, "Well, headquarters doesn't really need a chapter here. You guys have to take the next number, which was 18. So that's what the Milwaukee chapter is now, 18. But Ray Stetson, I used to go round and round on that. I said, "Ray, you know really who's chapter number one." So yeah, old Raymond, bless his soul. Yeah, he's a good guy, too, early EAA-er. But and I joined a chapter, and they found out that I worked for a telephone company, and that I could twist two wires together. So that's how I got drawn into a communications situation here, and it was just three of us. We were the three guys. Now what do we got here? We got about 65 people working in and out of here doing stuff for communications, you know, and the younger fellas have got a lot of techie stuff. I got a smartphone. And I'll tell you, that thing is so much smarter than I am. I just says, "Oh, geez." At any rate, that's how that's kind of all started for me. And I got other stories, so maybe Lumper wants to say some more, too.
There you go. Bob, talk a little bit about the evolution of vintage and how Paul sort of fostered that along the way.
Yes, he did, and we're awful proud of it, to say the least. He's always been a very ardent supporter of what we were doing. And I guess one of the favorite things I like to talk about is we'd be down working in the barn, setting it up and getting whatever we could. And you turn around, here's Paul with a broom, sweeping the floor, cleaning it up, and a little bit of fussing about, "It's getting messy here. You need to fix this." For those of you that are at Oshkosh, you can look around you and see the standards that Paul set. And those are his personal standards of cleanliness, orderliness. And these grounds themselves are a testimony to him.
Yeah, you could always tell. He'd be out and he'd see some paper rolling along, and he would he'd go out and pick it up, and then they're, oh, there's the president. He's picking up that baseball. And then all of a sudden, you got a bunch of people out there. When they first moved up here, we had the rocks all over this whole area where we park airplanes now. And we had a rock wagon out there, you know. And he'd get out there. Somebody would drive him, and he'd start throwing rocks on the wagon there, you know. And people would see that. And then he'd go out there, and pretty soon he had a dozen people throwing rocks in the wagon. And he walked away, and he'd stir up something else that needed to be done, and by him doing it, the members that come in there and bingo, they'd, you know, yeah, that's the kind of guy he was.
That's right.
Yeah,
he was a leader by example.
That's correct. Yeah.
And if I recall the story correctly, one of the reasons that the grounds today are so well kept is because of what happened after the very first fly-in in Milwaukee in 1953, mm-hmm. when it was. After everything was done, they went out to clean up on Monday morning, and Paul was the only one there cleaning up and emptying garbage cans. And he said at that point, never will I ever have an event like this without people, you know, picking up after themselves.
Sure.
And he kind of set that bar high, and it's obviously shows on the grounds today.
Yeah, it's stuck.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just, Bob, you flew with Paul at Pioneer Airport when the early days of Pioneer Airport, once it was open behind the museum. Some good stories flying there?
Well, for a while I was bringing my own airplane up and flying, and I was introduced to Pioneer, and it's a wonderful experience. The Pioneer Airport is still a wonderful experience. But Paul was building his junior ace, and it was one of those you stop in to take a look and see what the guy was building. And he starts handing you, well, put this on and put that on. Can you do this? And that evolved into, I guess, close to 10 years working with him off and on in the shop and helping him restore airplanes, build airplanes. And I was very fortunate he built his first junior ace. And I got to fly an awful lot hauling kids. Darn nice airplane. But he was always very supportive. Almost anything I wanted to do, he treat me like a son. He could fuss something real good on you. And I take a tremendous amount of pride in the fact that I got a plane with him and with Audrey. And they're just wonderful people. I always have been.
Well, you mentioned the junior ace. Do you remember how many young eagles you flew in that airplane?
Oh, God. There were probably 150-200 kids in that airplane alone. And, you know, open cockpit with a kid is great.
Yeah. Of course, who had the bigger smile? You or the young eagle?
I probably did myself. I was having more fun than anybody deserves.
That's right.
And I have to again thank him for that.
Yeah. And Ron, you, of course, semi-famous as a builder yourself with Old Ironsides. And was Paul involved in that project, helping you along at all?
No, not really. Kind of did it on my own, I guess. That's kind of a funny thing because now Rockford, the comp center, the three of us had a room right next to Paul's at the motel there for those, 3 days? I guess we were down there in the early days. And we came back to our room, and Paul said, come on in, you guys, have a sparkly. And so I went in there, and we had a beer, and of course, I'm a young punk, you know. And all these greats are in there, Harry Stitz, and who was the old announcer? Come on.
Roscoe.
Before Roscoe.
Before Roscoe.
Ooh.
Oh.
Come on. You know. You're a young guy. You know.
Danny Klisham, you mean?
No, Danny Klisham. Oh, my guy.
Nick.
Danny, he was
Nick.
A...
Resnick.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, all the big boys and their Cole brothers and all these big guys. And I'm, boy, you're sitting in there and a young kid, you know, you just keep your ears open and see, you know, listen to all these great words of these people with lots of aircraft wisdom. Mm-hmm. And finally, the things got a little quiet. And I said, I'm building an airplane. What does he mean? What's he got one finger up for?
It's a time cue. Keep going.
Okay. Anyway, I said, yeah, I'm building an airplane. And Stitz says to me, he says, whose plans are you using? I said, well, I'm designing it myself. Oh, he says, what's your background? Are you an aeronautical engineer? No, I work for a telephone company. And, oh, he sat me down in the bed there like a Dutch uncle, you know, telling me why I should not do this. He says, what you should do. Then he heard I was gonna, doing it out of fiberglass, mm-hmm. which is just for boats in those days. And this is structural glass that I was using. And he says, boy, he said, heard that then. And, man, he about blew the stack. He says, you get somebody's plans, and you build the airplane just how the plans call for, you know. Don't change anything. Maybe if you get this done and it flies good and all that stuff, just maybe you can design your own. So I kind of walked out there with my tail between my legs. And it was after. Of course, we became pretty good friends, old Ray. And then we first moved up here. He was down in Howard Johnson's. Howard Johnson. And we went down for breakfast, actually, and Ray's sitting all by himself at the bar. And had breakfast, so he settled inside of him there, Dick Millibrandt, Gensmer, and I. And, hi, Scotty, he says, how's Ironside's flying, you know? And I said, oh, great, Ray, you know. Just hands off, first time, no weights, nothing, weight balance good. Oh, that's great, you know. And I says, you know, Ray, you probably don't remember this. But when we were in Paul's room that night, and you sat me down, and you just reamed my little fanny out, and I shouldn't do this stuff, you know, and all that. And old Ray, he says, well, what would you tell some young snot-nosed kid that had no experience and everything? So that's how that kind of went back in the day.
Yeah. I tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're talking Bob Lumley and Ron Scott, memories of Paul in the early days of EIA. And we'll be back with more live from the stand in just a moment on EIA Radio.